Here's part two of the May 6th, 2007 Jimmy Dunn podcast.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
Okay, the next item that I had here was the, we've talked about this before, the Real ID, the National ID card. And this article, is quite interesting. I don't know if this is an op-ed piece or not. I forget whether it was an actual news article. 6 years into the new normal of terror alerts, identification checks, electronic surveillance, and increasing levels of secrecy-based security, the prospect of national identification card needs public debate. This is what makes me think this is an op-ed piece, because they're calling for public debate. I personally don't think there needs to be any debate about it. I don't think there should be my part of the debate is this: no ID card.
Yeah, to me, it's licensed to be free.
Yeah, exactly. The real, interestingly enough, in March, the Department of Homeland Security released its long-awaited guidance document regarding the national implementation of the Real ID program as part of its post-9/11 national security initiatives. It's perhaps quite telling that despite bipartisan opposition to the Real ID, it was buried in a 2005 must-pass military spending bill and enacted into law without public debate or congressional hearings. So they did it anyway. Now, one of the problems, of course, that we talked about previously is that it was an unfunded mandate on the states. The Department of Homeland Security document notes the primary benefit of a Real ID is to improve the security and lessen the vulnerability of federal buildings, nuclear facilities, and aircraft to terrorist attack. We know that reinforcing them was a long overdue protective measure to prevent hijackings. But this still raises an interesting question. Are there really so many members of the American public just dropping by to visit a nuclear facility, and that's become a primary reason for creating a national identification system? And, of course, you'd go up and knock on the door and say, hi, I'd like to come in.
Here's my national ID.
Yeah, I'd like to come in. Or here's not my national. I mean, it's not like they're going to just let you walk in no matter what. Anyway, the DHS proposes guidelines for proving one's identity and residents when applying for a Real ID card. Yet, while the department concedes it's a monumental task to prove one's domicile or residence, it leaves it up to the states to determine what documents would be adequate proof of residence, and even suggests that a utility bill or bank statement might be an appropriate documentation. I mean, if so, a person could easily generate multiple proof of residence documents. Basing a Real ID on such easy-to-forge documents obviates a large portion of what the Real ID is supposed to accomplish. Well, duh. And finally, and most importantly for Americans, the very last paragraph of the 160-page Real ID document deserves special attention. In a nod to states' rights advocates, DHS declares that states are free not to participate if they choose, but any identification card, I love this, any identification issued by a state that does not meet Real ID criteria is to be clearly labeled as such to include bold lettering or a unique design similar to how many states design driver's license for those under 21 years of age. I guess they'll put a big skull and crossbones hologram on your ID card if it's not a Real ID. In its own guidance document, the department has proposed branding citizens not possessing a Real ID card.
Good verb there.
Yeah, I love that. Branding citizens, you know, the scarlet... What is it? The mark of the... What is it? The scarlet mark?
Scarlet letter?
Scarlet letter, yeah. Real ID card in a matter that lets all who see their official state identification know that they're different and maybe dangerous. So you whip out your ID for any reason. You know, we'd like to see your ID to buy cigarettes, or, you know, you're going to charge something on your Visa card, and we'd like to see your ID. And here's
this isn't a Real ID.
Yeah, whoa, skull and crossbones. Look out. You know, big X across it. And, of course, you can imagine the looks that you would get from these people that say, look at you. You know, they roll their eyes up in their head. You know how people kind of look down at your card at the same time, flick their eyeballs up to look at you. And no wonder this provision appears at the very end of the document. As always, the last sentence so often is the most important. The one likely outcome of the DHS proposed social segregation, is that people presenting non-real ID identification. I love this. It's presenting non-real ID identification. Real identification. Automatically will be presumed suspicious and perhaps subject to additional screening or surveillance. I mean, that's No, I'm seriously. If you show me your ID, you have an ID that says, look, this is not a real ID. Whoa,
you
step
have
over here.
Your regular Florida driver's license or something.
Yeah. No, it's not a real ID. It doesn't have the official thing, your regular driver's
license. That's pretty suspicious.
Yeah, right away. Ooh, boy, cavity search. And, of course, the additional surveillance to confirm their innocence at a bar, office building, airports, or routine traffic stop. Can you imagine? Here you are. You're caught for your taillights out. Driver's license, please, or something. It's not a real ID. Step out of the car. Whoa, you know, that's...
This is such a great advocacy for the single subject rule. There really ought to be a single subject rule in all bills passed by the federal Congress.
Exactly. No, and that, and of course, as somebody said, as we've seen so many times, on so many of these, even if it's a single subject, 160 pages, nobody, out of the thousands of laws that get passed, now who's read it? The staff maybe read it and said, yeah, it's okay. It's okay, Governor. It's okay, Senator. You can guess on. There's, you know, pages 33 through 71 you might not like, but on balance, go for it. And besides that, the Senator from Oklahoma said he's going to vote on your new museum if you'll go along with this. So it's amazing to me when you look at this, the unfunded cost is $11 billion. And this is on so many levels. This national ID card, when you think about it, is, you know, your papers, please. You don't have the right one. Step over here. You know, and then the guns go off. It's just, I don't know. It's
It's true.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the next. What's the next? Anything in particular you want to talk about?
I got lots of stuff, but...
I was going to say that we were talking about this during the break on the... courts, how they rule on people, and I guess on DCF, you know, how they take away your kids for nothing and they mandatory this and mandatory that. I did come across this article about gambling is the new alcoholism is the new pariah, right. The criminal code, they have a gambling treatment court now. Apparently, if you commit a crime, this, of course, has your mens rea thing, it seems to me. You commit a crime because you want to pay off a gambling debt, and now what they want to do is to send you to gambling rehab because it's an addiction. And I guess it's sort of the same thing they do with DUIs, isn't it?
Well, not DUIs. They do it with drugs. They have a drug court now.
Drug court now they have, right.
Right, and they try to cure you. You know, I mean, to me, you don't need to be cured from a crime that hurts yourself. I mean, that's you.
Well, of course, what they said is the crime actually was the theft.
Well, right.
And if you were thrown in jail as a thief because you have an addiction, I guess that the idea is that there's no reason for you to go with the hardened criminals. But if you go to the treatment center and are cured of the disease of alcoholism or gambling, then you won't be a threat to society anymore.
Well, you know, they've got a lot of classes in jail that you can take in order to recover in some way or another.
Yeah.
And then that's all fine. I mean, to me, it's a theft. Theft should all be treated the same. And that's just the way it is. I mean, you take somebody's property, that's wrong, and you got to pay. I mean, it doesn't matter why, whether it's to get your gambling money or your drug money or your rent money, or to your spending money. I mean, it's just theft, and you need to learn that that's not good.
Yeah, even if it's to feed your starving children.
Well,
you stole that loaf of bread to feed your starving children.
Yeah,
go to jail.
Yeah, in my opinion, that's not the route you need to seek. You need to go seek some charity. If your children are starving, somebody will help you out.
DCF.
Don't call DCF.
Whatever you do,
don't ever call DCF. I mean, never. Go get the kid yourself from the people if you think somebody's abusing them, but don't call DCF, whatever you do.
Well, of course, that's the way it used to be in most societies, most communities, was that the neighbors, the peer pressure was what stopped you from beating up on your kids, because your neighbors would come over and say, what are you doing, for God's sakes?
Yeah.
Now, of course, I guess these days the guy pulls out a gun and shoots the neighbor. anyway, I thought this was interesting, though. They talk about I realize it's demanding. The judge said the other day as he ordered this fellow, 19 years old, who forged his father's checks to feed a bingo and lottery addiction. I thought, man, that's... And to attend Gamblers Anonymous meetings twice a week and so forth. So And speaking of attending meetings, people that have violated probation, Paris Hilton, and she's going to jail, right?
Paris Hilton, yep. I called this a couple months ago. If you're a lawyer listener, you know. I said she violated probation. In fact, twice she violated.
Twice she did, yeah.
And she is going to jail for 45 days. The judge said no exceptions, no alternative treatments. You don't even get to pick your own jail.
Like, yeah, no, we talked about that last week. Was the some of those people get the $85 a night, and she's not even getting that one.
No, she's got...
She's going, though. She has to report, I think, in about 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah, June 6th or something.
June 6th, okay, about a
month. She's going to the same place they held Charles Manson and
Sirhan. Oh, right!
Sirhan.
Well, now Charles is still there, huh? No? He's still in jail.
Yeah, I guess he is.
No, he is still in jail.
Well...
He's alive and in jail.
They're going to keep her segregated from the normal population.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Not with Charles.
Right.
Because he has a history of hurting actors, people, that sort of thing, you know. It's Sharon Tate!
Yeah, that's right. So here's my thought on the whole Paris Hilton thing. Here's a person who never tried to hurt anybody, and nobody got hurt. Now, why are we putting her in jail? I mean, why are we going to put somebody in jail for not hurting anybody and for not trying to hurt anybody?
But how about the imminent danger?
That's their rationale for it, is imminent danger. And that's,
I mean, they told her not to do it twice.
Well, I realize that, but to me...
And she got drunk and went and did it again. She obviously does have a drinking problem, pretty obviously.
Well, yeah, she's a partier.
She's a partier, right. Yeah, that's right.
But to me...
Invincible.
Until you hurt... Yeah, bulletproof and invincible. And until you actually hurt somebody with your vehicle...
Well, I'll tell you, nobody else would have gotten off with that. Anybody else would have been in jail already.
Oh, well, they would have gone the first time to jail, probably.
That's what I mean.
Well, so she got one break, and
I think she got two. Well, she got at least one that the normal person wouldn't have gotten.
Right. And there actually is there's a little tiny bit of hope that she'll get some break in that another actress recently went to that jail and was supposed to serve a 60-day sentence and got released within hours.
Really?
Yeah, because the jail was apparently overcrowded.
Ah.
And so they picked her to go first.
Gee, how did that happen?
Yeah, I wonder. And it'll be interesting to see if this happens. I doubt it's going to happen with her, though, because this is so high profile. That other actress was somebody off of Lost.
B-list.
Yeah, super.
That was Lost. It makes sense, yeah.
But so this is just an example of a statistical crime.
They did say, and I have personally witnessed this, where the judge will throw the book at somebody like that to make an example. Now, you don't know if that's the case here.
It's not the case, because she could have faced more time than that. I mean, the max was 90 days over there. I can tell you, in Florida, the max would have been a year.
Right.
And if they wanted to throw the book at her in Florida, if she got pulled over in Ocala, Florida, 6 months. It would have been 6 months, especially the second time.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I don't think you even go in front of a judge for that. You go straight to jail.
Yes. Well, in
violation of probation, I believe that you go straight in.
Well, if it's a felony, you go in and there's no bond in Florida and a lot of courts.
Ah.
In Ocala, that's the way it is. You sit there for a few months before you even get in front of a judge that's going to make a decision about the facts. They make a probable cause determination after 24 or 48 hours, but you're going to not get the facts resolved.
Cool your heels.
Right, exactly. And that's where you sit, but
and her heels are high.
They are. And hot, too.
And hot, that's right.
But she's going to sit there, and it's going to be interesting to see.
They won't let her off after 2 days for good behavior or anything like that, huh?
I don't think so. I think it's too high profile. I think they'll face a little too much scrutiny if they try to do that.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, but who actually, I wonder, would face the bad scrutiny if they let her out early?
Well, it would be whoever decision it was. If the sheriff decided that overcrowding needed to be resolved and she's going to be the one to help us out here, then he'd get the scrutiny. Or if some judge did it, if some judge stepped in, or you know, they did some sort of motion or something like that. But I don't see any legal recourse for her, so it's going to have to be...
I'd be open to some serious bribery at that point.
I imagine that there's a lot of people there that are.
Yeah.
So it'll
my English teacher used to say, somebody asked my English teacher one time, what would it cost to get a passing grade? He says, well, it's going to be expensive because... I'd have to retire. And so, you know, whatever it would take for me to totally retire, get out of the business, like today.
Right.
That will get you a passing grade. And that's if I was the judge, that's pretty much it. It'd be millions.
Right.
You know,
she's got it.
Yeah, I know. So, she made $30 million or something, or was worth $30 million or made, or I mean,
yeah, well, she's got a purse line and a perfume line.
And of course, she's an heiress.
Right. And that too.
I mean, I would imagine she gets a break at the Hilton hotels.
Oh. And I imagine she's got a wallet full of credit cards, too.
Yeah, probably frequent flyer miles and everything.
Oh, man.
You know, first class, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But this is a statistical crime. I just want to point out that if this logic is followed through, you'd basically have to put all the black people in jail because, statistically speaking, they're much more likely to commit crimes. So it's bogus. And they're saying that actually it's even more bogus than that, because if you check the actual statistics on drunk driving and how much accidents it actually causes, it's much, much less than you would think. The public statistics are something like 50%, but that's MAD giving it out, Mothers
Right.
Against Drunk Driving, and they're MAD. They're angry and they're mad.
Right.
And they're way off, and it's unfortunate they've had so much influence on policy. I wanted to start a group called DAMN, which was Drunks Against Mad Mothers.
Ah.
And try to push the tide back a little bit, but...
Good luck.
It wasn't very popular.
No, I can see, I can tell you right now they have managed to indoctrinate the public to this. You are a horrible, rotten person if you have a DUI. And like, as you say... I will mention that more than likely, when somebody is stopped, and they brought this up, by the time you get stopped, there's a better than even chance you've been out there many, many times.
Sure.
I know that.
And
personally.
Guess what? Nothing happened.
And nothing happened, right. And very often, I do know, I don't know about they say 50% of the accidents, but a lot of the DUIs here, certainly here in town, you're stopped for something else. Or it's a
right.
Or it's a dragnet thing where they're stopping everybody,
right.
and they happen to catch you that time. Not that you've hurt anybody, but they're just doing a random checkpoint.
Not even
checkpoint.
Any bad driving.
No, not even bad driving.
No swerving, no running a light or stop sign or anything. They just happen to pull you over and, oh, I smell some alcohol.
That's it. Boom, done.
And, you know, we're going to test. We can't even tell that you're under the influence of something, but these tests will prove it.
Right.
And to me, that's ridiculous. If you actually need a drug test, then the test you should have already passed. Because
right.
if they can't tell that you're drunk or wasted or whatever,
yeah,
I mean, it's pretty obvious when somebody's so drunk that they can't operate a vehicle. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. You don't need a test.
Right.
You can just show them the video. You shouldn't need a breathalyzer or some sample of their urine or blood. That's just gross. And I'm shocked.
Well, of course, a lot of that has to do with what the defense attorneys have managed to come up over the years. You know, here recently... They are now, I think, a bunch of the DUI things, they're suing one of the breathalyzer people that are used because the software, they want the source code.
Yeah.
And they're saying, without the source code, we can't tell if this thing, same thing they do with the election machines here, without the source code.
We can't tell what we're up against.
So we need to have the actual...
And this is, for our listeners who don't know, this is the source code that operates the breathalyzer machines. And a lot of DUIs are actually getting thrown out. If you've been convicted of a DUI recently, that's a good defense you can use, and they're getting away with it. They're getting some results.
Some judges are saying okay.
Right.
To me that is such a technicality. I can't believe it.
To me that makes perfect sense because they have this machine that they put in front of the public, and they say, well, this machine is going to say whether you're guilty or not.
Right.
And I want to know how that machine works, if it's going to say if I'm guilty or not.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's totally legitimate, in my opinion.
Well, I would say that...
of course, I'm a defense attorney.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. That's exactly right. I would say, though, that this is the other thing. They always back it up, almost always back it up with a field sobriety on video, which, of course... I was reminded the other day, this standing on one leg, for instance, who can do that anyway? Sober or...
And there are some things about that field sobriety test that have come under a lot of heavy scrutiny. And there's some success that we've had with that and getting that thrown out or using that to our advantage.
Well, of course, as you say, really it ought to be when you do the crime. You know,
right.
You crash in, you kill somebody,
right.
Hey, you go to jail.
Yeah. But to me, that doesn't even make it. I'm sorry. You have to try to do something wrong in order for them to send you to prison, in my opinion. Because there's a lot of people out there who are actually trying to cause harm. And that's the people you need to restrain. You don't need to restrain the person who is just negligent, in my opinion. They're going to learn. They're going to figure it out. They just wrecked their car. That's a big incentive right there. If they actually wrecked their car, if they killed somebody, all the people that I know that were in DUIs where there was a death as a result, they feel horrible. I mean, their life is altered. And that's what you want in terms of the result. You want them to change their behavior pattern.
Right.
And that's enough. And the chances are, if somebody's out there driving like that, the person they're going to kill is themselves.
Right.
Because it's far more likely. I mean, well, let's face it. When you're driving, you're always the driver. You're always in the car. And there's you could hit trees or parked things or anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's far more of that stuff to hit than other people.
Right.
And so the chances are, odds are, you're going to take yourself out.
Yeah, of course, what they do is they use the little girl in the mineshaft thing. That is, they show the one thing where the guy was totally drunk and plowed into a bus full of nuns.
Right.
And then now they pass the law.
Right.
And, again, shit happens. I mean, we understand this. It will happen anyway, no matter what you do, no matter how many laws you do.
Well, they've made it so that accidents are criminal now in that regard, but
yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Okay.
All right, what else we got?
Moving along, let's just see here. I would, let's see, police. Oh, what about the kid who was on $1 million bond because he drew a map of the school?
Well, the Eighth Amendment entitles you to a reasonable bond, and $1 million is unreasonable. There's no way the guy is going to be able to bond out, and it's unfortunate.
Well, no, I think they did reduce. As I recall, they reduced. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Which one was it? There were two things that happened recently. One was the I don't have it here. One was the Chinese community guy. This was the Clements High School senior who was removed from campus and sent to the M.R. Wood altered. Did we talk about this last time?
No.
Okay. This was a, it turned out it was a Chinese, Asian guy, and I think this is in Indiana someplace. Basically what happened was he was playing one of those games where you can draw your own maps and go around and do whatever you do. And they found on his computer or on the website or whatever it is, it's like Worlds of War or something like that, one of the maps that he created was of the school. And, you know, you could go around and bump people off or whatever it was. But anyway, they sent him to one of these schools like we have here for kids that are unruly. Apparently, he's like a 4A, honor student, whatever it is, getting ready to graduate, senior and everything else. And they yanked him out and put him in this alternate thing. And I believe he still graduated, but he wasn't allowed to walk across the stage or something. And something else, a couple of things that he would have gotten he didn't get and everything. And they... for the last two or three weeks of his senior year, because they found this map, and I think this is the fellow that they decided to terroristic threat because they found a hammer in it when they searched his bedroom. They found
a WMD.
Yeah, WMD, right? Hammer, and so they decided he was a terroristic threat.
That was the most dangerous thing they could find in his room.
Yeah, but the main thing was the map, and this was so quickly after the Virginia Tech thing that they
people freak out when there's a school shooting.
No, and this was a class. He basically his name was Chen, I think, or something like that. But he was Asian, so Cho, of course, was
right.
Asian, and this was. But it all looked too similar to them, I guess, and they just decided to put him away. The Asian community, of course, is saying this profile, and that's just not right.
Right. And hopefully they'll get some recourse for that. There's been some other backlash from that. There was this one teacher who was pointing his finger at the students and saying, pow, 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 as in a discussion about the case.
Right. And was he fired?
Yeah.
He was fired.
And it's,
but I think he's gonna go for a wrongful...
Hopefully
wrongful. Well, there was another one where the... I didn't pull it here. Here it is. This is in Wilmington, North Carolina. A 17-year-old Swansboro High School student was in jail Friday on $1 million bond after being charged with a weapon of mass destruction, an assault rifle, on the school's campus. I'm not saying this is a good thing. He's charged with possession of stolen firearm and possession of firearm by a minor. And they were investigating break-ins at a residence on some road, uncovered evidence that an AR-15 semi-automatic Colt rifle was stolen, and they took him out to his car. Apparently somebody maybe ratted on him or something like that. They went to school, got him out of class, took him to his car, and he opened it up, and sure enough, there was the assault rifle with, ammunition and everything else, and he was taken to the Onslow County Jail, and they charged somebody else with breaking in. But anyway, he's basically in jail on $1 million bond. So that's for, I guess they were worried that he was going to take all the ammo
and
blast away. Yeah. Interestingly enough, on that same police blotter, this is not really related, They have gotten three people on video poker charges. Brunswick County Sheriff's deputies charged three men Friday with running an illegal, this I love this, illegal video poker operations that paid out in cash. These people were charged with possession of illegal video poker machines and a possession of a video poker machine with user entitled to cash. Another man was charged with the same counts along with some possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. In three separate raids, deputies seized seven video poker machines and more than $3,700 in cash. The investigation was triggered by complaints by private citizens. So I'm trying to wonder, you know, one of the things about the state lottery here, the only reason it's legal at all, the only reason anybody bets on it at all, it's the worst scam on the planet, is because they make the other ones illegal here in Florida. Otherwise, nobody would bet on the Florida lottery. So I thought that was interesting. $1 million for, you know, it's interesting. Anything else you got? I mean, I've got a bunch of little stuff here. If you got something in particular that you need
Yeah, I saw where there's, now this is out of our country, but there was this activist that wants this chimp declared a person. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, there's this chimp in, like, Australia, I think. And what happened?
There are no chimps in Australia.
Well, it's in a zoo.
Okay.
Or in some sort of facility. And they lost funding for the facility.
Ah.
And people are worried that the animal's going to be turned over to the testing people or,
right.
or whatever. So they want the chimp declared a person so that he can own property so that people can donate to a fund to help maintain the chimp, which costs $6,800 per month in veterinary fees.
Apparently. Whoa!
I know. That's a lot of cash.
I could live on that.
No kidding.
That's $80,000 a year, damn near.
It's amazing. But
holy smokes, rich chimp!
But to me, it's just so silly. This just belies the ridiculousness of some of these advocates. They want a guardian appointed to manage the chimp's funds.
Well, you know where the $80,000 is
going.
Well,
exactly. That's my thought. Is who do you think is going to interpret the chimp's desires?
Yeah, right.
Well, he said he wanted a limo.
Yeah, right.
He said he wanted an SUV.
And the chimp needs to ride around in style.
Right, right.
That's right.
I'll drive him.
Yeah, there's no problem. Right. I'm sorry, you want a little Jack Daniels?
I mean, this is, you know, I this is
the
like,
problem is that when you went out to get hookers, I mean, what would they look like? All hairy or what?
I don't know. Well, he said he wanted this chick. He said he wanted a watch.
Ah, okay. That's okay. Good.
You know, to me, this is We the Horses. You know?
Yeah, it's right. Like, exactly.
Straight out of Ally McBeal.
Just straight out of Ally McBeal.
We the Chimps. You know, it doesn't say We the Chimps. It says
no,
We the People.
We the People, right.
And to me, I want this advocate declared a chimp.
There you go. That's it. Well, you know, but I don't understand the problem here because why would you bother? People leave all their money to their cats and everything all the time.
Well, that's over in this country, and you can do it in some sort of trust fashion.
Right.
And I don't know why they can't do it over there. I guess you can't, according to that country's laws, you can't own property unless you're a natural person.
Okay, but certainly you could make donations to the guardian guy who would own the chimp.
That's what it makes sense to me. I don't know why you need to declare him a person.
That's why it made the news.
Right.
There you go.
Here's another thing. What we should talk about, this is serious, though, the presidential debates.
You know, I didn't even watch them. I get so blown away. It was like wasn't it like a beauty contest or pageant or something? Was there like 8 or 10 of them up there? And, I mean, I thought, this is, to me, I thought, first of all, it's like a year and a half or something before the election. Nobody's going to give a crap one way or the other.
I don't know. That's you and me. I think that there's a substantial number of people out there who are they're sizing people up. They're picking their candidate. They're listening to the answers. They're buying
God.
Into this
but
thing.
I heard a little, one or two little pieces on this morning's talk shows, and I thought, so what? You know, Romney looked good. Huckabee looked good. Yeah. Giuliani started off good, ended up bad. Started off bad, ended up good. I don't know. And this is what the people were saying. Shields and Gigot or Shields and Brooks or whatever we're talking about.
I saw some excerpts.
And I'm thinking, this, like, I like so don't care, number one. So don't care.
Well, the problem is I wouldn't care except that these people are going to be in power. One of them or one of the other group.
You know, a lot of times people say cream rises to the top, but my thing
shit
is
floats.
Shit floats. That's exactly. I mean, that is exactly right. I look at these and I'm thinking, They are so mealy-mouthed. It reminds me of one of the times that, I think it was Muhammad Ali wanted to fight somebody in Japan. It was not the thrill in Manila, but it was one of those things that the best, world's best kung fu guy was going to fight Ali or something. And it ended up, they just danced around the ring and never touched each other because it was all defensive because then nobody wanted to get killed. And this is what I look at these guys and I think they have to get their points in. And then they back off. You know, they throw a little light feather punch, and then they back off, and that's it. What I mean, I don't want anybody like that. I want, that's not executive material to me. Mealy mouth.
Well, and I want to get into the substance of it a little bit here.
Okay.
And first of all, I noticed that three of them didn't believe in evolution.
No.
Three of them did not believe in evolution. I mean, how do you not believe in evolution? I'm sorry if you're a listener out there and you don't believe in evolution. There is so much cross-referencing proof that evolution exists in one form or another. Now, it doesn't obviate the existence of God.
And it doesn't obviate creationism.
Right.
To a large extent.
You can easily have God, right, have created everything 6,000 years ago, and he went ahead and created a history to go along with it.
Yeah.
And he went ahead and created evolution in order to give us something to think about if we're questioning his existence or whatever. But to me, to question the existence of evolution is like questioning gravity, you know. And I don't want anybody in the executive office who is that just blind to science. It's just so obvious out there.
Well, okay, there was that. And then, of course, the big question, I think, had to do, wasn't it, with the right abortion?
The abortion was a big one.
Big one.
And almost all of them said Roe v. Wade should be overturned. Of course, I'm talking about the Republican group here.
Right.
We didn't mention the Democratic group, which I'm sure they would all say needs to be upheld.
Right.
Giuliani said it would be okay either way. Let the states do it. And
and I agree with that.
Right. One of them said, Birnbach, or whatever his name is, said it would be a great advancement for freedoms if Roe v. Wade was overturned, which is just bass ackwards.
I don't get it.
Freedom for the unborn children, freedom and liberty to live, the right to live and that kind of stuff, and as opposed to the living people who are having the child.
Okay. The thing about it is this is one of those things that as with so many things, I never understood why the feds are involved in so much of this stuff
and
anyway.
They shouldn't be.
And we were talking about this some of this House expands. Oh, this is another thing. House expands.
Well, hold on. Before we get to that.
I'm not going to get into it. Okay. I'm telling you that a couple of the things that I have here. House panel approves this. House backs this. The Senate does it. And I'm thinking, these are federal things. There's not a federal problem here.
Right. Well, and those issues we'll talk about in just a second. And I agree. Those aren't federal problems. I don't know why the Fed's in it, except it's political.
Well, and I guess they just got nothing better to do. I mean, you got to earn your $165,000 one way or another. And one way you can do it is to say, look at all the laws I passed.
Yeah.
I guess.
And how much I care.
And how much I care. That's right.
And they talked about in the debate there, they talked about Iraq. That was a big, big thing. And most of them didn't want to back off of the war.
Mm.
And you even had McCain saying, we need to get in there and win this thing still. And he was all upset because the Democrats were trying to pull the money plug.
Right.
And to me, it's over. We lost in the sense that we didn't take the place, which
right.
is the only way to win. If you're going to invade, you take it.
Right.
And if you're not going to take it, you leave it. It's take it or leave it.
I guess. And yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. Why anybody thought they could go in with a country of 38 million people, you know, the size of Texas, with a force of 250,000 people and
establish rule.
And establish rule.
But then give it away. We weren't trying to win. We're trying to lose to the right group.
Yeah. Again, it's the arrogance, the hubris. And the United States has always done this. I mean, it's amazing to me how often, literally, starting with the war with Teddy Roosevelt and the charge up San Juan Hill, and everything you could look at, so many times we've done this sort of thing where we've marched in there with I wouldn't even say nobles, but I mean Woodrow Wilson, you know, make the world safe for democracy. That was 90 years ago. I'm looking around, I'm thinking, I don't know, Woody, buddy, you know, it might not have done 100% success on that.
What's his first name? Tommy.
Tommy?
Yeah, that's his first name.
You're kidding.
No.
Thomas Woodrow Wilson?
Yes.
I did not know
that. And he was known as Little Tommy in school there.
Oh, my God. Well, of course, you know, he was a totally accidental president.
Yeah.
I mean, he talk about somebody who got in with, I think, 40% of the vote or something like that, number one. And but it never would have made it in a million years if McKinley hadn't been assassinated. Either would have Roosevelt. So, I mean, on and on. I mean, just it's amazing to me to think about the this butterfly effect or something like that. You know, little things here and there, and the whole world changes.
So they also talked about I'm just going to go through these real quick here. They, of course, talked about the environment and global warming, which, of course, our solution is it's too big of a problem for you guys. Let the market figure it out.
Right.
And
we're all going to die.
Well, or not.
Or not.
Right.
And I mean, it may turn out that we are one of God's...
We're all going to move is what we're going to do, but that's
it. Well, that's for openers. I am. So I get my suntan at the North Pole for 6 months out of the
year.
Works
for me.
Yeah, it works for me.
Education. They all talked about education.
And of course, with the government should not be involved with that at all.
Another one. Why? What are they doing?
Yeah.
You know, sell the dang schools.
Yep, exactly.
They all... One interesting thing... None of them that I saw, there was no mention of Social Security or Medicare.
Ah,
the real big issues there.
The one that's really going to, yeah, exactly, the one that's actually going to be the tsunami that is going to bury us before any of this other stuff.
Right.
Is that.
Right.
One of the things that, all the problems that you want to cure, they do take money, and if you have no money, they don't get cured. End of story. That's just exact global warming. They're talking about spending all this money. Where's that money coming from? Well, I'll tell you right now, if you're spending it all on Social Security and if they're broke and Medicare is broke and everything, you got no money for any kind of scrubbers or nuclear power plants or nothing. So people don't realize that the government, of course, only creates nothing. They can only take from one group and give to another group. That's all they do. They can't give it before they take it away. And if it's not there, they have a hard time taking it away in the first place, which is why you have third world countries where the people are poor. But the reason that they don't make, there might be three or four people at the top that are rich, but the rest of them, there's no money available for anything else. And if without that, and the only way you...
They didn't even go through the traditional, I'm going to shore up those programs speeches.
Yeah.
I mean, they just...
Save Social Security.
Right.
No,
we're gonna
the lockbox is out the window.
Right, the lockbox. I mean, that... They didn't even do that stuff.
Didn't even pay the slightest even little homage.
Service,
even a bow in that direction.
Right.
No, okay.
They all invoked Reagan.
Ah, yes,
which,
of course.
To me, none of them even close to holding a candle, except with the possible exception of Ron Paul. He sounded sensible on some of his policies.
Was he up there?
Yes, he was.
Ah, okay, because he's a libertarian pretty much.
Well, he was. He ran under the libertarian candidate.
One year.
Yeah,
for
presidency.
But now he wants to be... In order to get elected,
he switched to the Republican Party. And he's a senator, representative from somewhere.
Texas.
And so good luck to him. I'd like to him. But one thing I thought was funny, the last time I saw a presidential debate, there was a clear winner. There was somebody who knew all the issues. This was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it were, 3 years ago. And knew all the issues and really seemed to have a grasp of everything and seemed presidential. And that was the moderator, Jim Lehrer.
Oh yeah, the moderator knew more than any of the candidates.
He just looked like he just looked much more in control,
much more presidential
much
than the rest
more
of them. Should have been there,
Jim
right?
Jim Lehrer for president.
That's it.
So,
so nobody won this one though, eh?
They didn't really even fight. You know, this was like you said, this was a dance around the ring.
Dance around the ring.
Look how good my costume looks.
That's it. The beauty contest. That's right. They paraded across.
Right.
And everything but the bathing suits. Okay, good.
Right.
Thank you for listening to part two of the May 6th, 2007 Jimmy Dome podcast.
Sunny yesterday, my life was filled with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me and really eased the pain. Oh, the dark days are done and the bright days are here, my sunny ones. shines so sincere, sunny one so true. I love you. Sunny, sunny, thank you for the sunshine bouquet. Thank you for the love that you brought my way. You gave to me your all and all. Now I feel just about 10 feet tall. Sunny one so true, I love you.
Download the Jimmy Doan Show as a podcast or visit jimmydoan.com and click on any show to make it play.